This is the Baser Update for February 5th, 2017. I'm Filippo Calvo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
Yay, and we can hear everybody now. That's great.
Yeah, a few technical difficulties to get the show started this week.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a show without Skype deciding to do something stupid. So, hey,
valid.
So at least we got that out of the way. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Well, no, wait, I can't say it. It's the big game because if I say Super Bowl, the NFL will come and steal our souls. So
yeah,
can't say that. But yeah, figured. You know, we might as well get this show done before the game, and then we can watch the Falcons, make the Patriots lose.
God willing.
I can hope.
Yeah. I've seen a picture floating around Facebook where it's like, there's Falcons fans, and then there are people who hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the whole demographic there. So... Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, so we might as well get into what we've been up to this week. I noticed that you've been playing Double Dragon 4, Pat, as I have.
Yeah. I think I'm doing it wrong because I'm not doing any of the stuff that we saw in the trailer, the crazy shit that you can pull off. I've just been playing it like I would play Double Dragon 1 on the NES. So there's definitely still... quite a bit that I've got to learn about this game, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, one thing to note, there are wake-up moves.
Yep.
So you know that now.
Which we've needed in Double Dragon since the beginning.
Yeah, so those are there. The combos that you're seeing in the trailers, those are the extra techniques which you get to by holding down either the punch or kick button and then pushing forward.
Oh.
Yeah, so those, and you can go, hold down, kick, and then forward, and then punch for the uppercut finisher. So,
okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you can also you can also chain into those by punching.
Okay.
So you can go punch, and then forwards will get you either the rising tackle or the spin kick.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there's a little more to it than it initially lets on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. But what I like about all of these mechanics in particular, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's like nothing really feels like it shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Nothing feels out of place. It's like...
It feels more like it was thought through to a logical conclusion.
Yeah, and it's something that probably, if Double Dragon 4 had come out in 1989, it's probably something that would have been in there. One thing that kind of did annoy me was the fact that the arranged soundtrack is default. No. Because, those aren't particularly great arrangements anyway, so just go into the option and turn on retro and then everything is good. How far have you gotten into it?
I must have got pretty close to the end because I got to Japan.
Okay, that's like map mission 6 or something, yeah. Yeah, Mission 6 is Japan. Well, Mission 6 is the harbor. Mission 8 is Japan.
Yeah. I was rather amused that the Okada sisters had completely Western names.
Yeah. It's like they're not really trying.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying. They're trying to make it as 80s as they possibly could.
Yeah. And
but in a completely different way from Double Dragon Neon.
Yeah.
Which was also extremely 80s in its own way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like it. It's one of the really nice early surprises this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully more to come.
Yeah, it's a good bellwether for what Arc System Works might want to do with the franchise. If this little, throwback game they're doing is just the start, then maybe we'll get a logical follow-up to Neon that's a little bit more polished than that game was.
Yeah. Maybe just see the entire franchise differently evolved. Maybe some 16-bit title would be next or something.
Yeah.
So I think that is an opportunity that they wouldn't want to miss. do something in the vein of Super Double Dragon. Maybe open it up to 4-player co-op.
Yeah, that might be kind of it.
But I'm just spitballing at this point. Clearly the franchise went to the right team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself is something we should be celebrating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And did you notice the crowd of sprites in the later missions? It's like...
It was kind of hard not to.
Yeah. Because you get, like, gang raped pretty quickly.
Basically, yeah.
So... Yeah.
There was also the whole... little situation with the diversionary storyline. Meanwhile, the Double Dragon 1 intro.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was pretty awesome. It's like, yeah, seriously? It's like, I'm glad they did it, but it's like, wow.
And then you're just sitting there watching, well, shit. Yeah. Should have seen that one coming.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire art style is basically just... ripped straight from the NES, so
yeah,
most of the music is too.
They look like for the most part, they look like Double Dragon 2 sprites, but some work has clearly been done on them.
Yeah,
because if it hadn't, then we wouldn't be using the control style from the first game so much.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be punch and kick; it would be left attack, right attack. So
yeah,
in a way, it feels like the game Double Dragon 2 should have been.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that.
But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's definitely an early contender for my top 10 of 2017 list.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and if you want to get a couple of extra credits, there's a very easy way to do it.
Oh?
Yeah, start a 2-player B game, and then kill off the second player.
Just okay. Mm. Wow, that is old school.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do it with a second controller plugged in, because if you don't, the game crashes.
Yep.
I don't know why that happens, but it does.
Okay. Unpack the fight stick. Call it in for duty, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, that game might not play pretty well, pretty badly with a fight stick.
Oh, I'm sure it would play fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's been, well, what I and part of what you've been doing. What about the rest of the stuff you've been up to?
Yeah, I'm wrapping up Yakuza 0 for the review. I was aiming it last week to get it done, but too many things got in the way, and it just didn't happen, so I'm putting the finishing touches on it now. Hopefully I'll have the review done tonight or tomorrow, so that's what I'm aiming for with that. As far as Double Dragon 4, we've already spoken about that at length. NHL 17, I actually have running in the background right now in be a GM mode.
Yeah.
Mm. Just continuing my efforts to lead the Colorado Avalanche back to relevance. It's been going interestingly.
Yeah.
They're doing better than they've been doing in real life, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ridge Racers 2, but I'll be getting to that in a moment. But the short version right now is that I am planning on getting back to my gameplay videos of that and maybe some other Ridge Racers 2 related stuff in the very near future.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing.
Cool. How about you, Brandon?
Well, first and foremost, I've still been playing Witcher 3. Not really much to say there. Still great. Still awesome. And on top of that, I downloaded onto my 3DS and am playing Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So I've got to assume both of you guys have already played that. Well,
I haven't. Cause
not as much as I would like.
Yeah. So, basically plays a lot like an old school Shin Megami Tensei game.
Yeah.
You know, this is not Persona. This is very much a old school, you know,
Dungeon
Meg
Crawl.
10 game where you have to go down in dungeons, you have to fight various demons, and sometimes you have to commune with them to get them, bribe them to come over to your side, and man, that bribery system is just wacky. He really is. Like, and some of the demons you come across are just completely bonkers. Which, I mean, it's Meg 10, so obviously there's just going to be weird things you're going to see. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that...
Because that's trying... what you get. You base a game on multicultural demonology.
Yeah. Yep. And, yeah, and basically when you're communing with demons, when you're trying to convert them over to your side, you're basically having to, like... There's, like, you answering questions they give you, and then you give them some stuff... Or, you know, at least try to convince them that you might have something.
Yeah.
Basically bullshit your way through it.
Yeah.
And if you do it well enough, they're like, there's still a 50-50 chance that they just might take your shit and run.
Yeah.
But if they do manage to get them on your side, they become the next person in your party. So...
Can be helpful.
Yes, it's a good idea to try and get more and more as you're going along.
Yeah.
Also, the story that the game is giving, it basically takes place in this giant, like, castle city called Mikado, and you're basically being trained to be a samurai, and... Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It's really obvious that this is supposed to be some sort of either really isolated or post-apocalyptic community.
Hmm.
Considering this is Meg 10, I'm kind of betting on the former.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised with the latter either. So, at this point, the only thing I'm anticipating is penis demons, because...
Yeah, they have the art for it.
Yeah.
They recycle everything, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, game is a lot of fun, and it is hard as balls.
One thing I feel the need to point out is that, associating Persona with the Mega 10 series is a bit of a stretch. It's something that they were doing over here, mainly in the name of, I guess you could say, consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as calling Trails of Cold Steel a Dragon Slayer title.
Yeah.
It's more closely associated with a branch called Genei Ibun Roku.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, most recently... referred to from Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could go and associate the two from an origin point stand, you know, sort of perspective. But yeah, when you play a true, you know, honest to goodness Mega 10 game, you will know the difference right away.
Yeah. That's not to say that they don't necessarily share elements.
Yeah.
They do. It's just that they express those elements in different ways.
Yeah.
In a normal Meg 10 game, you're actually summoning, you know, these, well, mons, for lack of a better term,
yeah,
to fight with you. Whereas in the Persona series, you usually summon those mons and then, I guess... meld them or adapt them to whatever your persona is when fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's got the same principle but different uses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've been... Oh, also, I found a... just because we are talking Meg 10, I found a blog that actually translates the original Digital Devil story, Megami Tensei... novel by Aya Nishitani into English.
Ooh.
So, yeah. The original.
Nice.
From 1986. So, yeah. I will,
and then the other thing I was going to say is that there are other very common lines drawn between the two, because Kaneko just crapped out so much artwork at that one point that they might as well use it for everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, yep.
Waste not, want not.
Nope. All right, what about you, Chris?
So, sort of with the vacation I've got coming up, one of the things I wanted to do is finally get this PS4 ready to trade in. As GameStop has a bonus $50 a promotion going on, so I think I'll probably get about 175 out of that thing, which is pretty good when they're selling them for 250 regularly for new ones. I just need to get all of the screenshots and video that I've recorded on there off of there first.
Yeah.
And put it in the old hard drive, which I found last night digging through all my crap. First, I thought I put it in an enclosure, but now I can't find the enclosure at all. So when I get that 2 terabyte out of the PS4, I have to get an enclosure. And local options don't seem great. Mm. At least none of the stores like Best Buy or Walmart's are making it obvious that they might have this stuff in stock.
Yeah.
So I'll probably have to go for a little trip on Monday and see what's going on. As for games themselves, playing more Hitman, trying to get my mastery up in Sapienza. I killed a guy with a cannon.
Okay.
Trying to figure out how to kill the other one with a stalactite in the underground cave. But I have to wait for her to find her way down there for some reason. I'm not sure if I need to restart down there initially or if she's ever going to come back or if there's something I can trigger that might alert her to come back.
Yeah.
And I'll have to do more research on that. But I also started a run on the professional mode in the Paris map. And yeah, the AI doesn't fuck around in that. They've messed with some of the items. So it's like some of the easy tricks I could use to like immediately get a servant suit or something like that. They're all gone. There's less items. But they do a good job of telling you like which items, because there are a bunch more of the more benign items that now have like suspicious tags to them, so that if you're carrying them around, people will notice and say, well, what the hell are you doing? Are you, as a waiter, carrying a pipe around?
Makes sense.
Yeah. AI is in different spots. Yeah, just more stuff like that that just puts you on your toes and trying to figure out other ways to get around and get what you need. Because that's going to be a nice challenge. There's 10 levels of mastery on this version. You can bring over pretty much most of the things that are in the main difficulty, normal difficulty. So I'm looking forward to having some more game to play with this. And yeah, so far so good on that. Sort of along with the sale that I got, Trails of Cold Steel, I picked up Adventures of Mana for Vita, which nice. Plays like a phone game. You can play fully touch screen, but also you can play with the buttons, and it controls a little bit better, but still kind of feels just loose enough that it feels like digital sticks.
Yeah, it's definitely not the best version of that game.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they could tighten up those controls for a platform that could actually handle that stuff.
Yeah. Alternatively, you could just load a Game Boy Advance emulator on there and get Sword of Mana.
Yeah. And I find it weird there's all this Final Fantasy stuff in there. Every time you level up, it gives you like 4 different like disciplines to upgrade the different stats. And they're all the Final Fantasy 1 classes. It's like the warrior, mage, all that stuff.
I believe the original name over here was Final Fantasy Adventure, of course, but even in Japan, I think it was called Seiken Densetsu, a Final Fantasy Adventure.
Yeah.
So
it just seems like a weird mishmash still, like they haven't figured out a way to fully separate them.
Yeah.
But I guess we don't really have much mana games anyway, so it's not really a big deal.
Nope.
Something for Matsuda-san to work on.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of phone games, I played Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yes.
Which, so far, it's been pretty good. The maps definitely are not the big, sprawling things that the main series has, but for what they're trying here, which is more of a quicker sort of a combat, is it does it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the summoning of heroes, as far as getting more, is still a little bit weird.
Yeah.
To the point where people are starting out the game, seeing who their initial lot is of heroes, and quitting and deleting it and restarting.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, just trying to get a better start.
Yeah, try to get a better start before you attach your My Nintendo account to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really care about that much. It's like there's probably dozens of these heroes. The first few you get, it's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
I really like the art. Yeah, I like the artwork that comes with them. It makes it easier to tell who's the older people.
Yeah.
As their art style looks very much like what you expect from, like, NES manual art.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And the newer ones are easier to tell because they have fancy armor.
Yeah.
Overly complicated outfits. There's a somewhat competitive mode, which is like fighting the ghost of the other's crew.
Hmm.
And so you are challenged to get like a winning streak of 7. And I think you get some sort of bonus for that. It's like seasonal combat stuff. There are a bunch of challenge maps and things associated with that as far as bonuses are concerned. And it's not too hard to earn the orbs to buy up new. It's like basically every map you complete, you get one orb.
Mm.
There's a stamina system, which I think immediately they figured out it wasn't great, so they doubled the amount of stamina, essentially like half the amount of stamina you use.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it lasts much longer, which is good. Though they position it as like a promotional period for the first like couple weeks.
Hmm.
So I don't know what they're going to do there, but so far so good as like a nice free to play game.
Hmm.
Going on to PlayStation VR is another thing I've been diving into this weekend, as there's a big PlayStation Plus sale for most of the VR stuff that has been out on about 20 or so games. And I splurged on about 8 of them.
Ooh.
For quite a bit of money. About $90 on that. But sort of like I want to support these developers and sort of encourage more games to come out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing some of the stuff I got. Thumpers, one I got a little while ago. Finally got into playing that, and that is really quite good.
Yeah.
It's really easy on the motion sickness stuff, just because you're following one track.
Yeah.
And I beat the first world's worth of levels, like 15 levels. Beat my first like freaky boss dude. It's the final boss.
Hmm.
This giant freaky head.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm aware, he gets more tentacles, Cthulhu stuff.
Oh yeah.
In the later parts of the game, so I am kind of looking forward to it, but hesitantly, because it's already getting hard. A lot of stuff where you have Rock Band style like notes that are falling down.
Yeah.
That's just one lane. But along with that, there are these like gate type things that you have to hold down the X button to burst through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the turns, you want to turn into the turn, I guess.
Yep.
It's been confusing me a little bit with that, because when you hold left or right on the stick, your little beetle leans up against the wall.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking you want to lean into the turret instead of turning away from it. Hmm. And so I kill myself a lot on that.
Yeah.
Just need to work on the mechanics and get used to it.
Yeah.
But so far, so good. Hmm. The other game I'm playing is Time Machine VR, which is from Minority, mm-hmm. Who made Papo and Yo. Hmm. And this one is surprisingly about a time machine. Hmm. Hmm. You are sort of a cadet in this little scientific program that is essentially time traveling to learn more about the world. And so you're definitely... so far I've been going into late Jurassic times, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Investigating the plesiosaurs and some of the stuff like that. And yeah, you can get into trouble with them because if you're not in a safe place, they'll attack you.
Yeah.
And so far they're starting to unravel some more of the story where, they may have brought back a virus that was hidden in the ice or something about global warming's releasing that virus.
Mm-hmm.
So in my little cockpit now, after being like the first chapter, it shows me how many people are dying.
Nice.
It's like, oh, this nice and depressing thing. So that's an interesting part of that story. But it has like a little like gallery thing, sort of showing you different things you learn, but also shows like you've got 30% of the data on the plesiosaur.
Mm.
And so you seems like you're going to be able to go back and sort of investigate them some more. So there's a, like I have like three of the six main things you can do, like tools you have. Like one of them's like a little ball you shoot at them to tag them.
Yeah.
Another one is sort of more of a, like a scanner. There's like two types of scanners, I guess. Oh yeah, one of the cool things you have there is like a time stopping ability.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of the ways you can go scan a plesiosaur and not get killed is by stopping time. Mm-hmm. Though their jaws open as you approach them, so it's, I think it's maybe more of a slowdown, severe slowdown. But yeah, it's like, oh, trying to analyze their stomachs to find out which one's the male and which one's the female, because the female has a baby inside. And that, trying to figure out why they're not going down and hunting some of the fish that are below, all that sort of stuff. But it's so far it's pretty interesting. It's one of the cool one of these like Robinson the Journeys, another one I'd like to get. That one's weirdly more expensive digital. It's 60 MSRP on PSN, but retail it's 40 MSRP for whatever reason. So I was like, well, I'm not going to pay 42 for this when it's automatically cheaper by default on retail.
The disc.
It seems like there's a price mistake somewhere here.
Yeah.
But it's been at that price for about 2 months now.
Mm.
So I don't know what's going on. That's all Crytek, I guess.
Yeah.
I also got in Until Dawn. I got the disc for that for $8. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Be the first like horror thing I play on that thing. But I also dipped into YouTube. They updated their app for VR. And so all the 360 video stuff is very much playable there. And the big problem is the resolution quality is terrible.
Yeah.
So it's all just a blurry mess. I think there was one video that was actually pretty okay, which was the Stranger Things. Like 360 VR CG video.
Yeah.
But there wasn't much that happens. You just fly around the house and the monster comes from behind you.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really paying attention that much, so it's like it's just over to the left.
Yeah,
I watched some of the stuff, the NFL thing, a couple game things, like a, oh, we're just gonna fly you through this Hitman trailer. Yeah. Here's Just Cause, and here's the Star Wars thing. It's like, you're all blurry. You don't look that good. You don't look as good as if these are actual video games, so yeah.
Yeah.
Video continues to be a huge non-starter.
Yeah.
Well. It seems like whatever tech they have to do to get the 360 part means their resolution is just crap.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe once they actually figure that out, I'm guessing they're just cheaping out on cameras. That would be my guess as to why that's happening.
Probably.
But,
yeah.
And it's also weird when, I think I saw one was Conan at San Diego Comic-Con. So they clearly have like a phone with the 360 thing going on.
Hmm.
And it's like, you're moving this thing around and it's jittering around. It's not things either.
It's like the automatically nauseous generator.
Here's a thing on top of a like a little golf cart. And now you're speeding up the video. It's like, it's not things you should be doing.
Nope.
It's okay if you're just watching it in the browser.
Yeah.
But not when you're actually sitting there.
Yeah.
So yeah, some good stuff. I think we can move on.
All right. So out this week, well, we're at the beginning of February, and we're approaching a month that's got a pretty good amount of releases.
Yep.
We're starting off with Neo this week.
Yep.
We're also going to be getting...
After 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 12 years. Out.
Yeah, 11?
And it's been getting good reviews, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently it actually paid off.
Yep.
The word I've been using is Dark Souls plus Ninja Gaiden.
Hmm. Yeah.
So more Dark Souls.
More Dark Souls, but some Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
See, the punchline for me is that this is one of the games that sold me a PS3.
Yeah. Well, now you're finally going to get your... the reason to, that you bought your PS3 is finally coming out now. On the PS4.
On PS4.
Which is weird, but I should probably also point out this month we're also getting South Park, The Fractured But Whole. We're getting... what are we getting? For Honor.
For Honor.
Yeah. Horizon. Zero Dawn. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty good month.
Mm. Yep.
So, yeah.
Then next
Horizon
month,
seemed to not have that bad of a development cycle.
Yeah.
Oh. And then next month we get absolutely swallowed
with
major. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting Neo, and then it's like, well, I got Horizon in a couple weeks, and Zelda's right after that.
Yeah.
I don't need this sort of game.
Yeah.
And then Mass Effect Andromeda comes out later.
Yeah. And the whole Switch launch, and yeah.
Yeah, that's a month away.
Yeah. So March is basically when all of your money goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's basically how that works.
So.
Mac and cheese and top ramen. Mac and cheese and top ramen. Here we come.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. So some sad news this week. One of the founders, basically, of the games business, well, according to us anyway, Masaya Nakamura passed away this week.
Found this out just on Facebook from Katsuhiro Harada.
Hmm.
Apparently, Nakamura-san passed away on the 22nd of January, and his family had just been keeping it on the down low for, you know, a number of reasons. Basically, the reason that the significance of this guy can be summed up by explaining that Namco is actually a term for Nakamura Manufacturing Company.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially this guy was one of the major players in the early days of the arcade business. And as a grateful son of the arcades myself, that is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I immediately upon finding this out, just sat down and, did a playthrough of Pro Tour 24 on Ridge Racers 2 because, I mean, I'd been meaning to get back to doing those videos for quite some time.
Hmm.
And, you know, it was like I left off at the perfect time to come back and do that R4 course It's just such a good slice of arcade racing right there in one playlist. And I don't think I played that great compared to some of my other videos, but I just think that in and of itself, coming back from such a long time away from Ridge Racer and the reason behind my doing the video in the first place, it made it a little more raw. And so I was pretty happy with how it turned out. And I'm hoping to resume these again because we just need more Ridge Racer content on YouTube all around.
Especially from somebody who actually understands how the game works. Because you see a lot of people playing Ridge Racers and doing it wrong.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to doing those. And but yeah, this was one of those things that really came out of left field. Another thing that we should point out about Nakamura-san is that when Nintendo was acting ridiculous in the 80s, he was one of the ones who put Hiroshi Yamauchi on blast publicly and just called him out for all of these business practices that would not fly today.
There was also wasn't like he involved with the with Atari and getting Tengen cartridges to actually work on the NES. There was something about the that
It wouldn't surprise me. There were a lot of Namco games under the Tengen label.
It says here he purchased Atari's Japanese division from Nolan Bushnell. $500K beating Sega's offer of $80,000.
What the hell, Sega?
Wow.
It's like, tell us what you really think.
It's like that's not even a similar offer. That's like, yeah, go away. All right, so moving on, we got a couple of sports stories to talk about. First one, we've talked about this game before, Mutant Football League, the spiritual successor being developed by the basically original dev team of Mutant League Football. They're doing a Kickstarter to get the game, you know, finished. They've also posted a video which basically simulates the Super Bowl. The big game. So they're playing the Deadlanta Vultures versus the Nuked London Hatriots.
A little on the nose.
And they've also announced that Tim Kitstrow is going to be on commentary now.
Nice.
And, if the Super Bowl turns out to be anywhere near as exciting as this particular bit of gameplay footage, then, you know, but... And I don't expect any balls to be exploding or chainsaws or, like, buzzsaws in the field, but...
Spoiler alert.
Although, considering how much people hate Patriots...
Yeah. Explosive ball.
Well, Tom Brady is the guy who supposedly deflated it, so... I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put it past him to put some gunpowder in there.
Funny part is, if you deflate a ball, it actually travels less far. Just point that out.
Yep.
But, some people just don't understand how science works. Anyways. And the other story that we got to go along with it is... ESPN will be running the FIFA 17 UTC Paris Regional Finals opposite the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, I said that again. Oh, god damn. Well, I think I don't think I can take that one back. So,
yeah.
That's them saying, hey, Europe, watch us.
Yeah, instead of watching that other thing.
And a couple things to point out. This is ESPN, not ESPN2, not one of the spin-off channels. This is the main channel, and this is what they're putting. This is what they're putting as their ratings you know, as their opposition, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm.
Esports is not going away.
Nope.
Yeah. In this case, this is esports sports, so yeah. It kind of makes more sense.
It's a little bit meta, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, this seems to be a rebroadcast of what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, hey, it's yeah, it's pretty good. And, well, FIFA 17.
Nobody else is playing on Sunday anyway.
Yeah.
It's not much to do.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not like anybody's actually going to watch it, which is unfortunate.
Oh, we'll get plenty of tweets of people like, why is there video games on ESPN?
Yeah. No, the button never stops being entertaining.
No.
Oh.
It really doesn't.
Oh, yeah, they should put on any of the other sports that are not on it, any either.
Yeah. Like, pool. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's entertaining.
See, I used to watch pool on ESPN and ESPN2 all the time, so I can't say much there, but... Mm.
I'd rather watch snooker, because that game makes no sense whatsoever. So, yeah. So, another month, another Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus lineup. Chris, what have we got this month?
So, let's start with Xbox Live Games with Gold. The first two games are available already. Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time for Xbox One.
Hmm. Yeah, this game came out on that. PS4 a little while back. Now it's on the Xbox One.
It's on everything, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Probably not a great game to play solo.
Hmm.
Seems like particularly not great for that. But I guess the whole point is it's Valentine's month.
Yeah.
Play it with your lover.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. As the title says.
Yeah.
The other game that's already available is Xbox 360's Monkey Island 2 Special Edition.
Yeah.
So that's a real good version of that game.
Yeah.
I assume it still holds up pretty well.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Coming in at February 16th, Project Cars.
Hmm.
Pretty good game.
Very good game.
I've been thinking about that game lately, and I think I hate the career mode.
Yeah.
Like, it's really poor. Like, probably the worst one I've seen.
Does it actually have a career mode?
I raced in karts, and then I didn't know what to do next.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain anything.
No, it's basically, the career mode is you just do whatever the fuck you want.
It's like,
matter.
I just go do the exhibition, and that's where the good stuff is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, how'd you guys fuck that up so hard? It's like, I get starting from, like, karts and all that.
Yeah.
Make it easy to know what to do next.
Yeah.
But yeah, just race the cars.
Hmm.
It'll be good. The other game is the Xbox 360 version of Star Wars Force Unleashed.
Hmm.
Good fuck around sandbox simulator thing.
Yeah, wasn't, just beat wasn't up a bad on. Game.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it was one I was trying to get through that when it originally came out, and I think I got lost at some point when I was fighting. I forget what I was fighting. It was in caves.
Yeah.
Mm.
Got less boring because there's no stormtroopers to fuck around with.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty decent month.
Not bad.
For PlayStation Plus, there are 5 games for PS4 people this month.
Mm.
Thanks to cross-buy stuff. There's Little Big Planet 3.
Mm.
Big game. Not the Sony exclusive that people have been chanting for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It's not Knack.
Yeah,
but Little Big Planet 3 is pretty good.
Yeah,
especially good for that community.
Oh yeah,
I'm trying out more of those. They still keep putting out DLC for those. I forget what just came out for it. Yeah, I forget what. I think it was Soul Calibur costumes.
Yeah,
they just put out.
Yeah.
Other games, Not a Hero for the PS4, which I've heard good things about. Devolver Digital. Also for PS4 and PS3, Starwall, which is a good local multiplayer game.
Yeah.
With space narwhals.
Okay.
Did you flip around and try and hit the other narwhal's heart?
Yeah.
Also for PS3 and Vita, Ninja Senki DX, which is a, I looked this up, it is a indie NES kind of style action adventure game. Sort of, I guess, Ninja Gaiden style.
Okay.
I've heard pretty good things about that. The other game for PS4 and Vita is Torque L, which is a Japanese indie game. I had looked up the site. The auto-translate made it pretty funny. That's like a puzzle platformer thing.
Okay.
And the final game is just for the PS3, Anna Extended Edition, which is a horror adventure game.
Yeah, that one didn't get very good reviews. So
yeah, I looked up Steam screenshots and saw weird mannequins, like wooden mannequins. Yeah. I was like, no, yeah. I'll avoid that one. Stay far away from it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for both of them. Both pretty good, decent months.
Yeah, pretty decent months. I mean, I'm glad to see
some good stuff to play with others here.
Yeah. It seems to be a theme this month with both of them. So,
yep. Yep.
So in other Sony news, we got PS4 version 4.50 firmware details. External hard drive support coming. Custom
USB
backgrounds.
USB 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 8 terabytes.
Yep. Yeah, which you could technically do on the internal, but yeah, you can't get a drive that big. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing they're doing is custom backgrounds for the dashboard. A bunch of other little minor features here and there. This might also be the firmware that adds boost mode to the PS Pro.
I can confirm that.
Yeah.
I have
that's
beta.
What intrigues me.
Okay.
I don't really have much to test it or any real acumen to really test it either.
But Drive Club would be one.
Yeah, Drive Club. Well, that one's locked at 30, so I don't think that's going to change anything.
Yeah, Bloodborne essentially allows PS4 Pro to perform games at better frame rates and such if the game is at least open to that stuff with like unlock frame rates and all
there
that.
Goes Drive Club.
Yeah, you might try Bloodborne. That one.
I did, but then it's like I haven't played that game in a year and a half. It's not a great idea to just go. More difficult parts of that game. Other things they've done is a simplified notification section,
which it needed for a long time.
Yeah, though it's a little bit too simplified from what I've seen. It's basically instead of just different sections, it's one long list.
But
you can push the options button and just filter out all the downloads. Or the uploads.
Okay.
So if you just want to get the downloads, there's a way to just sort of filter out the rest. Though I think there could be a happy medium between this and the old way.
Yeah.
Sort of being able to just let you just take out the other sections you don't care about. So you don't have invites or something like that in there.
Yeah.
That'd be nice if they did that. They're also letting you post on the What's New feed, the activity feed. Sort of like the way the Xbox has that.
Yeah.
So you can post text. You can post your screenshots directly to that. And GIFs from the Share Factory app. So be able to maybe coordinate some stuff a little bit better that way.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed also while using it is that directly on the games app, if you press the options button, it'll let you upload, download saves right there. Instead of having to go dig in all the way to the where the saves are at, sort of downloading stuff manually. You can sort of just say, okay, I just downloaded this.
Give me
do I have saves?
Yeah. That's
which
handy.
Is much nicer.
Yeah.
Especially also checking, wait, is my save old or new? Which one do I have? The other thing I added here is 3D Blu-ray support for PlayStation VR, which I would be interested in trying out if I had any. They're always more expensive.
Yeah,
it's like I don't have a 3D TV. I'm not going to get one.
Yeah,
so don't buy them. I was like, well, now I can't try them. just as 3D TVs are going away.
Yeah, just have to wait for 3D Blu-rays to start being cleared out on store shelves and pick them up for really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good use for that.
Yeah, resolution's not going to be a problem on a Blu-ray, so
no.
Might actually turn out to be pretty decent.
That actually be the way to get the best video on that.
Yeah.
I think one of the other things they did is refreshing that quick menu where you hold the PlayStation button down.
Yeah.
You can manage your party stuff right in there.
Yeah, now it looks like the Xbox guide. Like, almost exactly kind of like the Xbox guide.
Well, they had that first, though.
Yeah.
The Xbox is, like, stealing from them, and I don't know.
Yeah.
They're all just starting to become the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finally got that Xbox update.
Yeah.
I started mine yesterday, and I was like, oh, this looks different. I guess I got that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's real weird hitting the home button and not going back out to the home menu.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to go back. Oh, wait, I got to go figure out how to do this now.
Yep. Takes a little while to get used to, but it's a little bit better. At least you don't go home by accident now.
Yeah. Though, it was always a weird thing, because you hit it, and it's like 3 seconds later, it's like, oh, you want to go home? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess 4.5 will probably be out in March.
Yeah.
Got the beta going for people that signed up for it, and I figured out how to get around. I think they've been blocking me from getting any of these betas. Because anytime I sign up with my main account, I don't get anything. And I signed up with my alt account, and I got it.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't know.
They'd want to have the account that actually has more activity on it, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's because I contacted their CS probably one or too many times. So I think they just blocked me from all communication. I'll get a receipts for purchases, that's it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then you call their CS to say that that you think you're
stop blocking me from your CS.
Yeah. What's going on?
I know you're doing something. Quit hiding it.
Yeah.
I sound like the conspiracy.
Yeah. All right, so we'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
So we got a decision in the ZeniMax Oculus case. Jury found for ZeniMax for $500 million.
Oculus is not really guilty of anything.
No.
Nope.
But because John Carmack was particularly stupid, they kind of sided with ZeniMax for partial money. I think they wanted $4 billion. They got $500 million. So,
yeah.
$500 million. Yeah. Facebook will like sneeze and like that's $500 million.
It sounds like a lot of money until you remember who it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
seems like essentially this is due to breaking the NDA. $50 million for copyright infringement. Oculus unlucky. Pay $50 million for false designation. And former CEO Brendan Uribe is paying $150 million for the same stuff. So
yeah, so whatever.
Yeah,
I did find it funny that John Carmack was very much upfront that he went back and stole stuff from ZeniMax. And I guess they figured out he also Googled how to wipe a hard drive.
Whoops.
So, well, that doesn't look bad at all.
No,
nope.
Potentially smartest man in the industry had to Google how to wipe a hard drive.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, sometimes
I guess everybody has their weak spots.
Moments of,
derp.
But, yeah. So that Oculus has said they're probably going to appeal, but this is pretty much over at this point. And
it's basically a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. So ZeniMax wanted some money; they'll get it, and things will move on. ZeniMax also just hired Hugo Barra from was formerly at Google, then went to Xiaomi, and now he's over here at Oculus.
Yeah.
So he's there's some stuff going to happen in VR. Keep an eye on it. Next one, this is a weird story. Blizzard execs are speaking out about people using keyboard and mice on consoles. They say they don't like it. Don't do it.
Yeah, I, coming from the fighting genre side of things, I have feelings about this. Basically, I am a proponent of using the correct tool for the correct job. Whether that tool is made readily available or otherwise, keeping in mind, I come from that era of homebrew sticks and mass sticks and things like that, where, you know, people had to learn how to make these because the market wasn't providing them. And so that, that Blizzard or someone at Blizzard wants to, I mean, it's just what he's saying is flying so flatly in the face of that. And it's been part of the, it's been part of the console versus PC first person shooter debate for years and years. And I get that. But the fact of the matter is things haven't been trending in the way that they need to trend. And so we're seeing finally a correction to that. And we need, if anything, more support from the development side of things rather than less.
Well, so, what I find really weird about this is that both the PS4 and Xbox One have system-level support for keyboard and mice. I should just point that out. So, you know, if he, so his solution is either block these conversion devices or add full support for keyboard and mice. So the low-level support is there. You guys need to just use it. So shut up and
get good.
The other problem that I've that is worth mentioning is that these conversion devices don't work so well. They're fine for the moving around there, but actual fine sensitive aiming is not all that great. Because, yeah, you can have a very sensitive, you know, high DPI mouse hooked up to your PS4. But it's translating that into analog input, and the dead zones still apply. So, yeah, I think he's kind of making more of a stink about this than he really needs to. You know, a lot of these people who are using these converters, I think, are kind of getting, like, a placebo effect, to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely feel for them.
Sort
of having these third-party devices that can sort of supplant the natural balance of having all controllers on PS4 and Xbox One getting sort of messed with because of these weird like accessories.
One of those accessories for the PlayStation 4 is actually licensed. So go ahead and
Yeah, I don't think that's a fight he wants to pick.
don't do that. So, this will sort it out. I'm pretty sure they'll just end up adding keyboard and mouse support because, the system hooks are there. They can use it if they want to.
And then just separate people based on what they're using.
Or
just do arcade mode. Just says, fuck it. Do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Because, I remember when they did Shadowrun on the 360, how brilliantly that went. It didn't. That was not good.
And that's restricting both versions for not having the advantages each one provides.
Consequently, nobody played either version, so
ended
up just not working.
Now they're playing it on Xbox One. Long after there's any
anybody.
Oh, my Xbox
cares.
Turned on.
God damn it.
I didn't say Xbox on, I said Xbox One. Stupid.
See, I've been able to take Cortana. No, shut up.
That's the problem with getting away from Cortana is that
anytime you say Xbox, it just starts listing.
Get fooled.
So, anyways. Whatever. Anyways, moving on. GameStop has been caught lying to customers about stock levels of new games in favor of pushing the pre-played copies.
That's what happens when you have associates terrified for their jobs if they don't.
Yeah.
Kotaku doing some actual investigative journalism here. Looked into this whole circle of life policy that that GameStop is pushing, and they dug up some dirt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad some of this stuff is coming out, because you know, there are more than a few videos of former GameStop employees on YouTube who are basically venting about all the crap that they had to go through.
Yeah.
So it's good to see this kind of stuff, you know, being aired out. GameStop really needs to start taking this stuff seriously, because they're not the only game in town anymore.
Nope.
You know, with Best Buy and Amazon, you know, on beating down their door, I think, yeah, they're going to have to start treating their customers better or risk losing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this case, it's more of a case of treating their associates better, because it's sort of like enforcing a certain ratio of pre-owned product to new product going out the doors.
Yeah.
Potentially at the cost of your job.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, when you frame it like that, it's kind of hard to be surprised when people start lying about what's in stock.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do not want GameStop to go away. I have a lot of friends who would be screwed without that company, and I want them to be better.
Yeah. My experience, the better GameStops are usually the ones that are actually fairly on the small side.
Yeah.
I can agree to that, living across the street from one.
Yeah, but the ones when they're, like, really big and they've got, like, all the merchandise and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones that usually get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I don't know
The ones that GameStop corporate tends to, you know, pay more closer scrutiny to are probably the ones that end up with these kind of policies, whereas the smaller ones have a little bit more leeway because they're not really surveyed as much.
Yeah, plus, I don't know what it is about. I guess for some reason, just the smaller ones are just a bit more intimate for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because the one I go to, like, okay, there's actually, like, three GameStops in town where I live. There's one that's like really tiny next to be what used to be a Radio Shack. It's over at near the part of town that's kind of dying down because, you know, the money, you know, the business is moving to another part. There's another one, then this would be the big one, and it's at the outdoor mall at what they call the shops at River Crossing, and it's the big one. Mm. And but the one I go to is actually just a few miles from where I live, and it's like at a little, it's at like a one of those little strip mall type places.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's next to like a Chinese restaurant and like a Vietnamese nails place.
Mm.
And that's the one I go to because their stock's usually good. I know the people who work there, and they do good work. So,
yeah,
and they don't bullshit you about
about stuff that's not in stock.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Kotaku has another article, more current one, with a bunch of testimonies from various current and former.
They've been following it up.
Yeah,
and it's like a. Let's see, current assistant manager, none of us like to do it, but we are all scared for our jobs.
Yep.
I saw another one. Former assistant manager, these goals had to be met every day or we would get a call from our district manager or district leaders. GameStop would like you to call them to alert us about our low numbers and warn us.
Mm.
So very much seems like it depends on the people higher up.
Yeah.
As to whether they are going to get on your ass. There's one here, former store manager, says he was just fired from the company after 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
As being a manager for 8 years over this exact program 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
At holidays, my staff was afraid of being fired because of this program, so what I did was pass off my transactions to them. That would improve their COL score while I took the transactions that would otherwise harm their COL scores.
Mm.
So he's the Robin Hood of GameStop.
Mm-hmm. And look what he got.
Yeah.
No. There's another one that's damning. Let's see, where is it at? Basically saying they were taught by the district manager to add a penny to pre-orders to boost their score, which is really bad ethics.
Yeah.
Yeah. GameStop, shape up, because you got issues.
And then there was another article that they posted that was a statement from the CEO, and which was about what you would expect. Blah blah. These circumstances are in the minority. Blah blah. Every system initiative thing like that will have its growing pains. You've got people who have been fired or are scared that they are going to be fired. Those are not growing pains.
No.
That's just bad corporate management.
Yeah.
I saw another one. It's to put your people that are weak on performance, keep them away from the counter and don't talk to any customers. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, really?
I've watched my store leader go from someone who liked his job to someone who can barely find it in himself to interact with even his favorite customers because he's constantly being scolded about things out of his control. That's not a good atmosphere for your loyal customers to be dealing with every day.
Yeah. And the crow.
Well, that sounds like my final few months at Walmart.
Yep. I think the crow agrees. So does the dog. Anyways.
Yeah, that's where I close my window.
But, yeah. So, moving on. We got Final Fantasy XI, The Zodiac Age, set for 12. Age a lot. 11. 12. 12. Yes, 12.
Big That's difference.
Two eyes, not one eye. Zodiac Age coming out July 12th. Now, this is the PS4.
July 11th.
11th.
You got your.
I cannot read
mix.
Today, no. Apparently.
No, they're in different formats.
Yeah.
So, yeah. July 12th coming out. This is the PS4 HD remaster of the PS2 game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks. I've already read the story, so whatever. I'm leaving that in, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways.
And for those that aren't watching the Google Doc, I bolded and made them way bigger so he knows what they are.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm actually going to pick this one up. Didn't really get a chance to play it very much on the PS2, so I'm looking forward to diving into it.
Oh, it's good.
Seeing how it is.
Yep. Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's probably the last great Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
That's not in an MMO.
Yeah.
And the promotional art they released for it just looks amazing. It's that same sort of Final Fantasy Tactics art style.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but the rest of the announcements for the 30th anniversary, not so great.
Went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
Here's a screenshot of the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Mm. Yeah.
That's it. Have a good day. Yeah, they got seven guys here on stage, and they're all just showing us a screenshot.
It's like, really?
The rest of it's like weird Japanese stuff, mostly. There's live-action Final Fantasy XIV TV show called Daddy of Light.
Okay.
I guess based on a Japanese blog about a father and son who bond over playing the game. Still an interesting idea, but it's like, here's a new promotion with Cup Noodle. Here's some more musical concerts coming out in Japan.
DLC.
Yeah, there's Final Fantasy Wine, Cakes. There's a new manga series. Final Fantasy.
How about some games, guys?
Yeah.
Escape Room.
That'd be nice. Some games. Maybe.
They're going to have stuff at the Sapporo Snow Festival.
So that's when we get launched out of the window in the skyscraper.
Yeah.
Ooh, joy. They got character crossovers coming to some of their games. Dissidia Final Fantasy Opera Omnia. Final Fantasy Brave Exvius. Mobius Final Fantasy and Itadaki Street. I think they're also putting Balthier in World of Final Fantasy later this year. as a DLC champion summon. So.
So yeah, that's not quite the Final Fantasy Anniversary news we were hoping for, but well, it's.
Yeah, it seems like a waste of an anniversary event.
Yeah.
To announce piddly stuff.
Yeah. Unless there's more coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is the Japanese.
I hope for their sake, they're...
the Japanese side of it. So maybe the North American side will be a little bit more.
I think they pushed the Exosuit DLC for Final Fantasy 15 because if you look at it, it looks like the new Power Rangers movie.
Mm-hmm. Oopsie daisy.
Yeah, and other Square Enix news, they kind of more or less confirmed the existence of the PS4 version of the City Arcade.
Yeah.
That would be a game.
Yeah. A game that we kind of all knew was going to come anyway. But okay.
Basically talked about details about it without actually confirming that it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Said that it's going to have a story mode and they're not ready to show it yet.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a thing that exists. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah. We've kind of known it all along, but it's good to have something resembling verification on that.
And they're looking for some esports integration as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's something that we've been kind of talking about on the show from the time that it was announced, because this is a game that's really tailor-made for esports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got the 3-on-3 format. You've got what will hopefully sooner than later be a full roster of characters. They're aiming at 50 still, last I heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means there's a lot of time releasing left to do in the arcades. Probably still a ways off, I'd say, to look for it sometime around TGS. I just don't think it's going to be ready to go by E3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, a shame, but we'll wait and see. Apparently what might be available before E3 would be the Phantom Dust HD remake, which apparently is still a thing.
Well, it's the remaster that they're doing. Yeah. Like, the remake is not happening.
Oh.
They said, screw this, we're just going to do the easiest, cheapest thing.
Mm.
We'll see how it does, and then go from there, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what needs to happen to get Microsoft to understand that there is a market for this series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy it, because, it's kind of impossible to find a copy of the original Xbox game now.
Yeah, I lucked out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I like how this just happens because some random person on Twitter asked him about it.
Yeah, see, Phil Spencer will actually answer things sometimes. I think you have to have, it has to be at the right time of day or he's had a couple of drinks and he's a little bit looser.
But, probably not around any NPD announcements.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. So Atlas wants to know how you would handle the Persona franchise.
HD remake with new translation of the original Persona.
Yeah. Well, you can tell them
the
that
list
now.
Was Persona 2.
Hmm.
There's a big list of all this stuff. Yeah. Fighting game for Persona 5.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Persona board game. Ace Your Master
Up. Dude over at Arc System Works said he wanted to do Persona 5 Arena.
Yeah.
Ace Your Master Up Revelations Persona. Persona 3 dance game, Persona Online game, Persona Shooter, Persona 6,
yeah,
new version of a Persona 5 with additional scenario and new content.
Yeah.
Persona 5
so
dance game.
Basically, Persona 5 the Golden.
Basically.
Yeah. Ace Your Master of Persona 3.
Yes.
Ace Your Masters of the Persona 2 games.
Those would be good.
Or a sequel port for Persona Q. Yes, all of the above.
Yeah,
all of
the
things. Yes.
And they also specify platforms as well. PS4, PSVR, PlayStation Vita, Switch, 3DS, smartphones, and others. Fuck smartphones. None of that.
Nope, don't do that.
Put on PS4 and Switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And VR. PSVR.
All the dance games in VR.
Yeah.
Make it like the Hatsune Miku game.
So yeah, it's good that Atlas is, looking to take this franchise seriously, so.
Yeah. The only bad thing is this is a Japanese survey.
Yeah.
Phones.
Yeah. See, I make a point to fill those out anyway.
Yeah. You have to translate them, but yeah, fill them out anyway.
Just like Google, it makes it more entertaining.
Oh, yeah. All right, moving on. We got Street Fighter V. The next character announcement is going to be happening at the same time as Lupe Fiasco's new album drops.
Yeah. Interesting timing. No idea which of the five characters it's going to be.
It's Lupe Fiasco.
I hope not.
Silence.
That would just be one of those, fuck this game, fuck life. But yeah, it's going to be the 15th, apparently, so we've still got another week and a half to go.
Yeah, so we won't know about it by the next show, but the show after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one and see what happens, and if Pat had decided to just completely abandon the Street Fighter franchise at that point.
So,
we'll wait and see there. Okay, so next up we got some news here about Resident Evil 7's VR component getting basically 10% attach rate on PSVR.
Yeah.
Yeah, their site has a bunch of information on it, stats and such, and they have about 1.1 million players. Now that VR is about over 100,000, so which is really good.
Yeah, not bad for an emerging platform.
And especially when there's 2/3 of those platforms don't even have that.
Yeah.
So you got a 10% attach rate for Resident Evil 7 on PlayStation VR. Within that 10%, what do you think is the attach rate for TARPS?
Probably 100%.
Yeah,
I hope
one would hope.
More diapers, I would say.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, probably diapers.
This is pretty much
when the first Modern Warfare came out, and I'm not sure if it was a prank or what, but somebody had made purchases enough to have it so that when someone would go to Modern Warfare on Amazon, it would also recommend the adult diapers as a tie-in purchase. The customers who bought this item also picked up.
For some reason.
See, this is the game that's really sort of allowed the PSVR to come to its own. Pretty much. This is pretty much the game that's kind of pushed it off from the little niche into sort of a big thing.
Yeah. It's also good for Capcom, who apparently have remembered that they know how to make scary games.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. Despite the fact that Resident Evil 7 is a first-person game, it's probably the closest to going back to the game's roots since, you know, the original Resident Evil.
Yeah.
All things that Takeuchi wanted to drive home when this game went into development.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you really think about it, if the original Resident Evil was a first-person game, this is a lot like it would look. It's really, you know, it's got all of that sort of sense of claustrophobia because you're basically stuck in one space for pretty much the whole game. There's that sense of randomness of just shit can happen at any time.
Yes.
Those jump scares are in there. And let me tell you, there's something about jump scares when you're just playing the game on a television and something of having this VR headset on you and, you know, having the jump scares. Because, see, with the VR, because you know what? Yeah, because the thing with the VR headset is you can't look away.
No, it's just there. You can close your eyes, but yeah, that's about all you
still hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and audio.
No, I still think jump scares are a cop-out.
Yeah.
You say that, but they still work.
Yeah.
And for the record,
but this game doesn't rely on them. That's the thing. It does have them, but yeah.
It's atmosphere and the anticipation that really freaks you out, especially those first couple of hours when you're inside that little house.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice that Capcom has found something of a new purpose after they've kind of gone through this whole generation saying, well, if the platform holders aren't going to pay for our games, we're just going to remaster everything else.
Mm.
Now they're like, oh, this VR thing's actually working out. Let's do some of that. And
Although the weird sort of disembodied forearms and hand that you experience with the PSVR is a little off-putting.
Mm.
But honestly, there ain't really anything they can do about that.
Yeah, so far.
For the time being.
Until Sony develops the VR gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Which we know is going to happen. It's just...
Eventually.
You know, just a matter of time.
And then the porn games will come. And
yeah.
So will you. Comedy.
So... Right,
so I imagine that's going to be what takes root more on Oculus than anything.
Yeah, Oculus or Vive, those are the open platforms. So,
yeah.
Although, you know, with the stuff that's been showing up on PSN lately, you just never know.
Well, even then, it still seems like there's going to be some measure of oversight.
Yeah.
Summer Lessons still out there.
Hmm.
And Dead or Alive Extreme 3.
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
That still exists, yeah.
That's pretty much almost all the way there.
Yeah.
You just gotta connect the 10%, less 10% yourself.
Yeah.
That's not too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that it'll be anything close to realistic, because, well, let's face it, boob physics in a DOA game are basically like, you know, water balloons attached by a rubber band.
Yeah, that's basically how that works.
Oh, I'm sure there are hardware developers getting ready to tackle that.
It's not that hard, really. But so moving on.
Sure went off the rails.
Yep, as these things tend to do. Yep. So we got the pricing details from the Japanese Switch Online service.
Yep,
and it's about 2,000 to 3,000 yen.
Yeah, which
approximately about $17 to $26
a year. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's annual.
That actually fits Nintendo's doctrine of if they can't find room to eat at one table, they'll set up a new one.
Yep.
And it makes sense for the
So I guess that's... Whole... Yeah, go ahead.
So it makes sense for the whole, like, one game a month sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're definitely weren't going to get away with that if you charge 50 or 60 bucks for that.
Yeah.
Mm. So I guess Sorry.
And it's especially for the suite of features they're looking to add that aren't necessarily anything more than what Sony and Microsoft have been doing, much less really competing with it, since you have to go through like a phone app to access most of it.
Yeah. Although they've kind of said, well, maybe that's not going to be necessary for the future. So maybe they'll end up actually, you know, putting the features on the console itself. Just a thought.
So I'm guessing that we're going to end up having a sort of a small annual fee for over here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Instead of like the $10, $12 a month that, you know, Microsoft and Sony does.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably going to be 15 to 20 bucks at most.
Yeah. Hmm. That would be smart.
Take the magazine route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it cheap. We'll figure out the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe even bring back a digital edition of Nintendo Power and make that part of the package.
Yeah. They'd actually have to hire talent for that. Anyways.
There's always a problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll keep the eye on this one because the Switch comes out the 3rd of March and we'll know more.
That's soon.
Yep. A little under a month.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So, finally, the gaming industry reacts to Trump's immigration ban executive order.
Yep, you knew it was coming.
Yep.
There ain't no way to avoid this.
Yep. Let's go over this. Who wants to take this one?
So, there have been a lot of developers, individuals, companies, and some of the bigger bodies like GDC and ESA have made lots of comments about various parts of the Muslim ban part of it, as well as just their own diversity in their own studios and such, that definitely shows that these companies aren't going to take this lying down.
Mm-hmm. Should they?
Yeah, because especially a lot of them are, like Ubisoft has companies, if not in those specific countries, probably has plenty of people that have immigrated from those countries.
Yeah.
And they obviously are not going to be able to travel to the U.S. Should they need to do so. There are even some companies locally here in the U.S. that basically can't leave because they won't be able to get back in.
Yeah.
One of the founders of, I forget the studio is called, the people that made Revolution, or 1979 Revolution.
Yeah, it was the guy, he was exile from Iran.
Yeah, he was born in Iran, moved to Canada with his family, and now lives in New York, making games, and
he was in New York. Let me just put it this way. He was in New York on 9/11.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was there when that shit went down.
Yeah.
Yep. And now he can't travel across the world to various events.
Nope.
Because he's not going to be able to get back in.
Yeah.
Now, for the record, he couldn't get back to Iran anyway because they pretty much kicked him out of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he can't go to all these other places because very good chance he won't be able to get back into the country.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least not for another couple months.
And we've seen a number of indies sort of put their games on sale and donate proceeds to the ACLU and various other charities. I posted a link in the chat of Lucas Pope saying he raised about $47,000 with the sale on Papers, Please.
Mm-hmm.
And said he's going to round it up to 50,000 and split it between, let's see, the National Immigration Law Center, the American Refugee Committee, and the ACLU.
Yeah.
And what else? Fez was another game that was on sale for that. A bunch of others that I've seen. Seen a number of developers also putting out statements. Harmonix, Naughty Dog, Insomniac has a nice video with pretty much everybody on their in their Burbank office. They also mentioned the North Carolina office. I don't know if it's TVs in the back. They had people up there, but I have a number of others. EA statement from one of their CEOs. I think it's an internal one. Frank Chabot wrote that up. Ubisoft has something here. Andrew Wilson has something from EA, Bethesda, ESA, GDC, as we mentioned, a bunch of people. Another thing I found that's pretty cool is Devolver Digital, who publishes a lot of games. GDC is going to be coming up soon, and a number of these developers are not going to be able to come in. So I set up a site to take submissions from some of those people, and they'll demo those on their behalf, their own booth. So yeah, a lot of entities in the industry are basically saying, this is really stupid. We have always had people from various nationalities and religions and all that working on these games. One of the things I saw getting shown around a lot is one of the guys that programmed the original Final Fantasy is an Iranian immigrant.
Yeah.
Did it from the U.S. He did one of the Mana games, Secret of Mana, I think. A bunch of stuff for Square Enix, or Square and Enix. And so, yeah, people that get all pissy, why are you posting about politics? Because it's shoving itself right into everybody else's business now.
Yep.
I'm just going to repeat what I said in Let's Weekend. The days where you could sort of apathetically ignore politics as this thing that happens to other people that you yourself don't have to get involved in, those days are gone for good.
Yep.
They're never coming back, and frankly, we're all the better for it. the days when you could, you know, for far too long here in the United States, our generational distrust of the government became so bad that we completely unpersonalized ourselves from our government to the point that now government is just this sort of abstract other that does things and it exists separate of us. The truth of the matter is that government, a government in a democratic republic such as the United States, is a instrument of the popular will. And because of our apathy, we've been able to sort of wash our hands of any responsibility whenever our government does something awful. But the truth of the matter is, we share just as much in the responsibility as they do.
Yep.
And really, the only other thing I can add to that is that all you folks who voted for Trump and said that, no, he could never do any of this stuff, well, he did it.
Yep.
He did it. He said what he was going to do, and he did it. And you have no excuse.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, being an isolationist nation always goes really well. So, yeah.
Yeah, the U.S. did that during World War II, and then Pearl Harbor happened.
Yeah. Look, the fact of the matter is, in a globalized community, you cannot isolate yourself from the rest of the world.
No.
It will not work. It will bite you in the ass in the long run. Yeah. And in the short run, it'll make everybody else hate you.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
especially when it's easier than ever to communicate with people outside of your own borders.
Yeah, as national borders become increasingly more and more irrelevant as a concept, isolationism as an idea just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and at least the good thing is that it seems like the judicial system is trying to throw out the whole EO.
Yep.
And Trump's not happy because he doesn't understand checks and balances.
Nope. Yeah, checks and balances. He would like rather just abolish all of those. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we'll end it there. Yeah, it's been a pretty good show this week. So yeah, we got a couple of hours left before the game. So yeah, get your beer ready, get all that good stuff going, and watch the Patriots lose. Just put that out there. Anyway,
yeah,
ironic. Patriots lose.
Yeah,
as Trump comes into power.
Yeah. So, anyway, so with that, I'm Filippo D'Alfa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you all next week.
Go Falcons!